Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vampillies with myself, Danny V, and the lovely, courageous, well-spoken, anointed, and Holy Ghost talking and spitting and Lady V.
Guys, I don't know what's going on in these last few weeks in these intros, but I'm getting tips, babe. Welcome to the show. As usual, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And if you were with us last week, there were so many messages we couldn't get to. And so this week, we thought we definitely need a part two.
Yeah, so I'm still trying to win Husband of the Year. And I don't know what the prize is. Do you have a prize for me, my wife?
No, I actually do, but I think we'll talk about that another time. But for now, if you want to get in contact with us and give us your comments about today's show, feel free to do so. Our WhatsApp number is 071-364-0376.
What is our topic for today?
So today is a part two and a continuation of last week's topic. We as believers are familiar with testimonies and praise reports within the church. Essentially, it's the end result of someone's journey of faith. But how often do we talk about what happens in the in-between? Scripture actually warns us that there will be a fatigue in the journey of faith. There are different figures in Scripture who we can take for granted that what they trusted God for often seemed extremely impossible and at times took many years. A 5-minute testimony and a few pages of Scripture can be an obvious and undeniable testimony of God's faithfulness. But do we ever consider that what one goes through when having faith gets hard before God's promise is fulfilled?
So it sounds very simple, but it is indeed a journey. So stay with us. If you are sitting there thinking, oh, guys, it's not working out, then you are tuned into the right show. And we want to hear from you. 071-364-0376. Yeah.
If you were tuned in last night between 6 and 6:30 p.m., you would have heard us start this topic off as we discussed how the journey of faith can be quite challenging, that the reality and the promise are not the same. And to do a little bit of a recap of what we mean by last week and today's show, I want to read you some biblical time frames, because what we picked up as we were doing this show is that when you get the promise, it's easy to begin to waver because biblical and godly time frames are not human time frames. We want it to happen a little bit quicker. So between Abraham receiving the promise of Isaac and them actually having Isaac was 25 years. Israel's 11-day journey then took 40 years. And Jacob worked a total of 14 years just to have Rachel, sorry. And then 70 years after the word on the ark to actually build the ark. And then, Danny, this week we saw a pastor in real time whom him and his wife were promised a child. And they just got pregnant after 13 years.
Yeah, this is heavy stuff.
Imagine getting divorced, because we know how much pressure this can put on a couple. You want to have kids, you're unable to have kids. It's putting strain on the marriage. And on the seventh year, you're like, you know what? I really want the kids.
I'm out.
But they now had the kid on the 13th year. Ironically, they talked about what got them through the promise. They actually said a nugget that I want to drop right now. They said they believed God so much, but they also decided that they were not going to be fixated on the promise, that they were going to live their lives, that God had put them together for more than just children. And when he was ready, he would make it happen. That's how they got through 13 years of waiting.
I think a lot of us in our microwave generation are so used to changing things, you know. So, hey, the promise is not coming, change wives. The promise is not coming. This husband of mine, we've struggled for too long. Change husbands. The church. The church. Ooh, how many churches have you changed, beloved child of God? Why? The promise didn't happen here. And I believe even the false prophets of our time, they prey on that. They sell you something that will happen quickly. They charge you exorbitant prices. I'm sorry, guys. I don't want to hurt your feelings, right? But if you get robbed by a false prophet, the first thing you need to consider is your own heart. You get me? Because we postured to want things now so badly that the enemy takes advantage of that. And we have to sit here and go back to scripture and see that, no, man, these things take time. And it's not just time in doubt. It's not time in fear. It's not time figuring out how you're going to help God. We don't want other Ishmaels here. No. It's time in faith. So if you're finding yourself really stagnant, one of the questions we need to ask is, do you still believe?
So, as you heard, there's a man of God and a woman of God who just got their promise of a child after 13 years. My question to you right now is, what if what you're waiting for will take 13 years, but it's a job, it's a car, it's a house, it's an opportunity? In real time, we've got men and women of God who are waiting long. Today's show is about the courage and the faith to walk your own journey as God takes you to your promised land.
What do we do when faith is hard? 0713640376. We want to hear, what did you do
when faith gets hard, and how the faith journey is anything but simple. When we look at scripture, we can see that it is evident that men and women, just like you and I, had places where they struggled with their faith. I think, babe, in this microwave generation, as you call it, we have this idea that because we're with the Lord, the journey will be straightforward. And unfortunately, when we look at it biblically and in scripture, there's absolutely not one person whose story was straightforward. So we have to be ready for the ebbs and the flows. We shouldn't villainize our humanity, but we should be aware of it and put it in its place. That when you're weary and you're tired, you are still aware that the promises of God will come to pass. Now, speaking of faith and the intricacies of faith and how it's not straightforward, I want to ask you something. You know when your promise is not coming true and someone says to you, you didn't faith enough for it.
Oof.
I want to ask, who had faith for Lazarus?
Mm-hmm.
Who had faith for the little girl that died and Jesus rose from the dead?
Well, I know it wasn't Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't there. The little girl was dead. So we need to go to that scripture. Open that scripture.
I'm going to read two versions of the scripture of Jairus' daughter who was raised from the dead. I'm going to start in the book of Mark.
I actually want to give it a preface. Are you feeling dead this morning? Are you feeling like your faith is dead? Like you don't know what to do? Let's go and see what happened in scripture.
Mark chapter 5, verse 37 to 42. It says, he did not let anyone follow him. This is Jesus, except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a common with him crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talita kume, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl arose. That's the version in the book of Mark.
Hold on. Are you saying all the people he found there who were laughing, who were saying he's crazy and crying, he kicked them out. He stopped the mourning. Mm-hmm. This is a funeral. Jesus shows up. Imagine as a pastor right now. You show up to a funeral and you kick everyone out. Oh, man, you're going to be in the newspaper. But Jesus had to do that. Why?
Let's go to the same story, the version in the book of Luke. By the way, there's three different versions, and these two talk about what we want to focus on. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 49 to 51, while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's mother and father. I want to highlight verse 50, where Jesus said to Jairus, "Just believe and she will be healed." So in that moment, when you look critically at who Jesus had around him, it was men and women of faith. He prepared the father to faith for that child.
He's taking from his own disciples already. He knows the ones who are still doubters, the ones who are still growing up. So he took the big guns. He said, "The three big guns, you guys come in with me." And then he took the father and the son. The father and the mother. Because he knows as parents, there's no way your child will die and you won't want them resurrected.
And he prepared the dad. He said, "Have faith and she will be healed."
But he also kicked out. And this is the part that's very important. When you are dead, you don't need certain people around you, making you comfortable, bringing you a blanket to stay dead, telling you how bad the church is, you know, telling you, you know, how it's okay to be depressed, you know, it's okay to how South Africa is burning and there'll be nothing left. Kick those people out the house.
And I think it's interesting that we say dead because we relate to the people that brought Jesus the news. But Jesus, in his godliness, knew that the girl was not dead, but she was asleep. And some of our faiths are just asleep. They're just asleep. And in order for it to be revived and awakened, it does matter who you have around you. And sometimes the faith journey becomes hard because you're not yet around the right people.
Yep.
You can be saying, "But God, where is my thing? Where is my thing?" But so many times, people that are asleep in the faith typically don't know they're asleep.
Yeah.
You don't know that is your down season.
And birds of the same feathers
flock together.
So you look for people who wail there with you. "Oh man, this is so bad. Remember back in the day when there was faith?" No, there's still faith. Mm-hmm. Where have you shifted, sir, ma'am? No, we need you back on board. We need you back on board. And today we are going to be the Peter, you know, we're going to be the three that come with Jesus in your house. You let us in. If you're in the car, you let us in. And we in your house to tell you that you the situation is not dead, but you need to kick some people out of this car.
Come on now.
You need to silence some voices. We need you resurrected.
Do not touch that dial right now. We're going to give you citizens with imagination. Remember, you can reach us at 071-364-0376 and tell us how you got through when faith was hard.
Who did you have to kick out? Who? You need to share this with us. We're speaking as brethren today.
Impact 103. Come alive to the beat of life.
You're still with the Vambillies. Lady V, talk to us.
So I have a question. You know, when we complain and we wail, because it's a natural part of walking the journey of faith, do we really understand that there isn't really a story in the scriptures that doesn't have a challenge?
What
right?
do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Okay, to highlight what I'm trying to say, I want to ask you, Danny, of all the Bible men and women, I was going to say characters and figures, but that's what Sunday school did to us. And we need to undo this thing of Bible figure, Bible character. The men and women of the Bible.
Yes.
Which one would you choose to be? Which one's journey seems the most possible, doable for you?
You know, in this age, I would want to be David. You know, the one who's loved by God, the friend of God. Yeah.
Do you want to run from Saul?
No. Mm-mm. I want, when you say I'm king, to walk into the palace the next week.
Because the priests at Og that were killed, the 85, 80 somewhat priests that were killed by Saul in search of David, the agony that put him through. We see in the book of Psalms between 31 and 33 there, where David is just talking about the agony that he ran to the priests and it got them killed. Mm. Not to mention everything he went through with Bathsheba. And you know, with David, let's go there. With David, we like to talk about David's journey up until becoming king. That was pretty hard. But do you know that one of David's sons violated the daughter?
Uh-oh.
David's story doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
He has a very long, very big, very challenging story with the Lord. And so does everybody else. So one way to keep your faith up is, we spoke about in the intro about praise reports, how as believers we just love the praise reports, but we don't know what the person has gone through before that promise comes to pass, right? A lot of the times you're told, oh, you have an Esther anointing, you have a Joseph anointing, you have a Solomon anointing. I think what can encourage you is, please don't focus on the fact that Esther was queen. Because if you focus on the fact that she was queen and you've been told you have an Esther anointing, you're going to struggle in the season when you are an orphan.
Yeah.
I think it's important to understand, when you're given a word and you're told you're a David, please go read that whole story. Mm. How David walked his relationship with God, how David made mistakes, how David had to make decisions that had to kill his flesh a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on. That the journey of these people was not just about the title. It was also about submission. It was also about fear. In Esther's case, she had to show bravery. But before then, there was a little bit of fear. So when you get a word and you're likened to a Bible person, I would encourage you to read the whole journey. Now, to understand what I mean by don't focus on the title, every time I ask people that want to be, okay, we have professions we love, the big five, especially if you're in Africa, you know the big five. It's doctor, it's lawyer, it's engineer. What's the other one? It's accountant. Accountant just made it through. Hey, well done, accountants, you're in. And then there's one final one that parents love. If you come and say, Mom, I want to be this, this is what they love. And I ask people who want these careers, but not from a place of revelation, but from a place of it sounds good. Do you want to be a doctor? Yes, I want to be a doctor. Do you want to study for 12 years? No, I don't. Mm. Do you want to work long hours? No, I don't. Do you want to be exposed to the level of trauma that everyday people will not understand? No, I don't. Do you want to have human lives in your hands? No, I don't. Then maybe you don't want to be a doctor. You just want the title. Do you want to be a pilot? Yes, pilots make a lot of money. They get to travel all around the world. Great. Do you want to stay away from your family for long periods on end? No, I don't. Do you want to do long hours cross-nighting on a cylinder in the sky? No, I don't. There are so many questions that we have to ask ourselves as people who say we want something, because there are truths to the title. Mm. And unfortunately for us as believers, we know that the promise carries a title. And when we focus on the title, we lose sight of the promise. Because the title will not come without some kind of sacrifice.
So are you ready to revisit the prophetic words you got, the things you trust in God for, and actually look at what was the challenges associated with that particular promise? So you don't get discouraged in your journey.
That was Kobe James with a good news. Danny, take us more into this topic.
You know, I sit and think of David being anointed as king, sitting in a cave and thinking, where is God? Where is the God who anointed me? Who told this prophet to come? In fact, the same God who gave me the strength to go and kill Goliath. Are you understanding that if David didn't kill Goliath, he wouldn't be on Saul's radar? Now, killing Goliath leads to him becoming popular, leads to people singing songs that makes the very same king he saved jealous and wanting to kill him. Now he finds himself in the cave and he's thinking, "Ah, God, where are you?" I want to speak to those Davids right now. You know, maybe you are an Esther and you are going through a process where you're still just an orphan and you don't know. Between all these prophetic words I got and, you know, all these expectations you have on yourself and how you thought things were going to be straightforward and they're not, I want to say to you, you need to be kind to yourself and understand that there will be a journey to the promise. And the greater the promise, the greater the challenge. You know, a lot of us, things don't make sense. There's a point in my life where I was just looking and wondering, but God, why did you even bring these promises to me? Why? Because sometimes the promises are almost in contradiction to how you feel about yourself in that point in your life. You know, so a lot of us are sitting, man, you've probably decided that that pastor who gave you a word is a false prophet. You know, we were speaking somewhere with a lady called Mama Vilna. She takes in prostitutes off of the street. And she said she was such a bad mother that when they gave her a word that she's called to mother people, her thoughts were, okay, that other word was right, that word is right, but this one of being a mother, that one is definitely wrong. Just to say that at some point, the thing you called for will look so far away. It will look like it's just not me. It can't be me.
Mm-hmm. And part of the faith walk that's hard is 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9 that says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part," but verse 10 is the saving grace. It says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in parts shall be done away."
Yep. So if you are sitting now and maybe you've tried business 4 or 5 times and it keeps collapsing, you know, things look like they're going to come together and then they don't. You can't afford to give up. You can't afford to tap out of the race and tell us, "Look, guys, I tried." No. There's no "I tried" here. Until the promise comes to pass, you don't know
what
how
the other part is. Yes.
Are working in you.
Yeah.
The character to endure. Because you know what? Just when the promise comes to pass, like we said with David, that wasn't the end of his story. No, that was the beginning. There were still things he had to face. He still had to face the Bathsheba temptation. And though he failed at the temptation aspect of it, he passed at the repentance aspect of it.
Come on now.
Because if you don't know how much it takes for a king to repent, just look at our politicians. Look at our politicians. They can be caught red-handed and they'll say, "No, I didn't do it."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying this to say, You might look at David's story thinking, "But David got it wrong." No, He could still repent.
Mm. And for those of you thinking that your prophetic words were from false prophets, according to 1 Corinthians 13, 9-12, your prophet is prophesying in part. The other part is called faith, and you will not know what it is until the perfection comes. So there is a perfection. There is a perfect time, and the encouragement is to wait upon the Lord. Trust me, I know how hard that is, and we're going to go into that. But hey, the scriptures are with us that faith comes, and it comes by hearing the word of God. Who are you surrounded with, and what's encouraging you today in your journey of faith?
Send us your messages. When we come back, we'll be reading them all.
It's the second hour of our show, and it's time for us to get into the messages and talk about what you've been feeling as we've been discussing the journey of faith. And indeed, it's been quite interesting, some of the messages that we've been getting. So, in no particular order, we've got this message from Bui that says, "This just reminded me of the scripture in Isaiah that says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." Bui, you know what I thought of when you said that? I'm like, yo, but God's time. What time? When?
And then I got another message that says, "Hello to you. I waited 6 years before my second hubby married me. My best friend heard from God I will marry my hubby. I laughed at her. We got married from 2015 is when the word was given. They got married in 2021.
Wow.
That's from Karen. And I love that Karen didn't try to make it happen, eh?
Woof. Yeah.
That's another story.
That's a whole other story when we're creating an Ishmael somewhere there. Another person sent a message saying, "You guys are talking to me right now. It's been 4 years since a prophetic word was released over my life, but I often think it was wrong because I'm still waiting." Well, I hope you're encouraged that the person right before you waited 2 more years. 2 more years then for
6 years.
6 years.
Wow. And then Basasana said, "May the Almighty give us strength to hold on."
Yep. Absolutely. We need strength indeed. We need strength indeed. And there's someone that also says, "I've been waiting for this message." You know what? I think we've all been, in a sense, waiting for this message, don't you think?
Yeah. I think we've heard testimonies for so long that there isn't enough voices to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't enough voices that are saying, "Look, waiting is hard, but mm-hmm. hang in there. You've not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
God has not forgotten you. You're not in sin. Or, you know, like, you're not a leper. You're not a faith leper or a prophetic leper. You're just going through the seasons of waiting."
You just reminded me of something when you said you haven't done something wrong. So in this morning, I was in the book of Job. And earlier on, we said that during your faith journey, there are some people that can't be a part of it. There's a part of a faith journey that is private. And didn't we see that in Job?
Mm.
That when he was going through his faith journey and trusting God to get him out of the situation he was in, he actually had friends around him giving him the wrong advice.
Telling him, curse God and die.
Telling him that he did something wrong and that's why he was in that position, you know. Even though we're aware in scripture that the Israelites kept doing things in the wilderness that kept them there for longer, it doesn't necessarily mean that your faith walk is taking long because you've done something wrong. To go back to one of the messages, "When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." That means that until the time is right, sometimes it's not about you doing anything wrong. It's just not the appointed time.
It's like if Jesus wanted to be crucified at the age of 12. Just wasn't the right time, you know? So finding him in his 30s, you know, he was God from birth. 30 years later.
Mm.
33 to be exact, we find him being crucified. So a lot of us, when we are in our journeys and we're just going through our processes, we feel like we're doing something wrong. There's a voice telling us that, you know, if you're waiting, then maybe it's your fault. No, it's not your fault. It's God's timing.
This makes me think of the scripture, Psalm 77, verse 19. "Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters." We read this last week, but listen to this last verse. "And your footsteps were not known." Other versions say "were not seen." Just because you don't see the footsteps of God does not mean that he's not with you.
So whoever told you you are in disobedience, please tell them you are in patience. You are waiting on the Lord. It is hard, but the Lord is with you. This is JJ featuring Neville D. Hallelujah. Wow. We are having such a good show. No matter, you need to stay strong in your fast and continue to let God strengthen you. You know, and I know that it's always hard, especially when we're fasting. Oh man, to push through those last few days. So stand in God's promise. Don't give up. Even though it's been 18 years, you need to wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Handing it over to Lady V.
You know, as it relates to the journey of faith and today's show being called When Faith Gets Hard, I once had a conversation with God that was really, really sobering. The conversation went along the lines of this. We always think that faith is for here. And we always link our faith to the promises that we will benefit while we are on this earth. But the Lord began to talk to me about how faith is for heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. That's what even gets you in. You can't be in heaven if you don't have faith. And it may be that the Lord is stretching you for the next realm. And the way that he showed it to me is that the faith of the prisoner that was on the cross next to Jesus did not serve him in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
He needed a measure of faith that could serve him in the next life. So some of us, like Stephen, may never live to see the fulfillment of some of the things we're believing God for, but it does stretch our spirit man for the capacity that God wants us to be able to hold in heaven. And our feeble-mindedness, because we're humans and everything is about now, 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 we can give up on the journey of faith because we have not seen. Even though very clearly in Hebrews, one of the definitions of faith is literally something that we have not seen. And it could be because we will see it in the next life. So the way that God was trying to teach me the hardships of faith is this. When you serve your children dinner, and I'm talking about toddlers who don't understand nutritional value, and you've got the broccoli and the carrot and all of that, the child that always avoids the Brussels sprouts will not be as healthy as the child that obeys and eats it even though it's bitter. Because in the same way that a toddler cannot begin to imagine the macro and micronutrients that are in food and how it builds their body for the future, that's how much we don't know about faith. There is a measure of faith that God is calling you to that is bitter. That measure of faith is not nice, and you want to run away from it. But as parents who have toddlers, tell me who you will give dessert to. The child that finished the Brussels sprouts or the child that ran away from it and didn't want to have it at all? In fact, what is likely to happen is you'll give dessert to the one that finished all their dinner, and the one that didn't might be standing in a corner for time out. And so there's a divinity to our Father. There's a divinity to our Lord that in our finite minds as human beings, we can never begin to understand why he's allowing the journey of faith to sometimes become bitter. And we have scripture that says we have to rejoice when we face trials because eventually it builds hope in us. What are those scriptures talking about? They're talking about the bitter vegetables that we have to swallow that are not for now, but it's for a time after this. So I just want to encourage those who have not seen that you are building your spirit man for the transcendence of this body. And as believers, we cannot be so carnally focused all the time that we think the faith is just for a house. The faith is just for a husband or a child. But the faith is making you the spiritual person that you need to be to enter and be in heaven.
Now, some of you, this is where you need to commit beyond yourself. You know, what if the things you're breaking now are for your children? What if it's for a generation that might never even meet you? You need to commit yourself to actually deciding to stand up, to go beyond what you need, to go beyond your own strength. We need to make sure that in the things we are doing, we are committed to push our boundaries. Now, I'm saying this because what I found is a lot of us, because we short-sighted, We're not generational. We think, man, if it won't benefit me, if I'm not going to see it now, if I can't eat it tomorrow, then let me just let it be. And that's not how it should be. All right, so some of you, your faith is for now. Some of you, it's for the future. Some of you, it's for the next life. But guess what? Commit yourself to being committed. Commit yourself to being committed. You're still with the Vambillies, and you know, we're going into the next phase of our conversation, and we want to hear from you. 071-364-0376. So if there's anything in regards to waiting and, you know, just being strong in your walk of faith that you want to send us, please feel free to do that. Elizabeth sent us a voice note. Unfortunately, it's a bit long. It's about 2 minutes. Elizabeth, you must send us your testimonies in like a minute. Then it's always nice for us to play it on air. But she was saying how when she was praying for her daughter, she couldn't understand why people were not standing up and praying with her. But it turned out being a season where God wanted her to learn how to stand up and pray by herself. And then later on, only later on, God sent a pastor to come and stand with her. Now, we are all doing things for our families. You know, some of the work you're doing right now, you might not even benefit from it. Mm-hmm. But you are building for the future generation. You could be David gathering the bricks that Solomon is going to need to build the temple. So don't just sit there and think, oh man, and be discouraged. I'm not seeing this thing. You don't know what you're building. Maybe the Lord needs to have your children see you growing, see you standing, so that they can learn how to build from where you left off. So do not be discouraged. And if you are discouraged, we are here for you today. And we're not talking as people who've never been discouraged. We're speaking as people who can say, man, we've been there with you. We're not going to judge you for being discouraged. We're not going to judge you for feeling like it's taken too long. We've all personally felt like things took too long. But having waited, we got a good report. And we're coming back to you and we're saying, listen, maybe you are called to be the one who plants and someone else will be the one who waters. Let me hand it over to Lady V.
So, what Danny is referring to is found in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 9, where it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers, and some little other versions say co-laborers, in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. I think the most encouraging thing about this message is that it makes a very clear distinction between the one who plants and the one who waters. A lot of the times when we get the word, we're neither the one who plants or waters. We are the one who reaps. When God gives a word, we are the ones who reap the word. And we don't so much focus on the fact that you may be called as a planter. And unfortunately, if you're a planter, so there's one thing about me. I don't like green fingers. I don't like camping or anything that has to do with sand. Okay. For me, take me to Holiday Inn. That's where we're going to be fine. If God calls me to plant, I will struggle with it personally because I don't like worms and I don't like sand. But a planter navigates the mud. A planter navigates the worms. A planter navigates the weeds and the seeds. And it's important to understand within the word that one has been given, who are you? Are you called to water something that was built before you? Are you called to plant it? And are you the privileged generation that is called to harvest that word? this understanding of where you are in the labor of Christ can make the faith walk easier. And another thing that it says there at the end, you are God's field. You are God's building. That is so encouraging for me to know that God is in the process of beautifying the field that is you. God is in the process of building who He's called you to be. And it feels very safe to be like, I'm God's project, right? So many times things are happening in our lives, but it hasn't blindsided God. It hasn't blindsided God that you're waiting. It hasn't blindsided God that you're tired. But that's why those who wait on the Lord renew their strength and they soar on wings as eagles. And last week we actually said, you cannot renew your strength or soar on wings as eagles if you don't wait upon the Lord. That's the prerequisite of that scripture. So there is a reward in waiting. Do not grow weary.
Oh 7136403 76. Do tell us how you waited.
We have a question that just came in, and it's quite a difficult question, as the journey of faith can be. There's someone who has asked, they've been married for quite a while, a couple of decades actually, and they're going through something and they're wondering. They know that their marriage is ordained. They know that they're supposed to be with this person. But they're wondering if God can deal with you in a season where the two of you are not together and God is dealing with you separately. Danny, I want to start with you. Give us your holy take.
All right. So I'm going to be very real with this. Even the law, the globally speaking, you know, when people are going through a difficult time, they've come up with the idea of separation to say, you know, maybe sometimes when you're not under the same roof and you're not, you know, in each other's neck, you can have a moment to see things differently and then come to back together and fix things. But there's also a danger in that, because, you know, if it's a thing that while you are separate, you're not going through counseling, you're not, you know, intentionally trying to fix the situation, then I think it can be dangerous. But we've had a testimony on air before of a couple who were they separated for 5 years, mm-hmm, and are currently remarried for much longer than they were.
14 now.
Yeah, they're now remarried for 14 years. So journeys are different. But for me, I don't think it's just separation that, mm-hmm, fixes things. But it's really, what are you doing during that time? Are you as a couple saying, look, we're in this hard place and being in each other's faces is really difficult. But let's find help. Let's submit to that direction while we fix things. Yet the Lord has to lead.
Exactly. We shouldn't be ignorant to the devices of the enemy. And the problem with separation, or let me just call it what we call it, you know, breaks, is that it does leave room for the enemy to fester. It does leave room for him to come in and do what it is he wants to do. And it's important in the journey of faith, because we typically, and this is just a general comment of cut and paste answers, is that someone else can be listening to this message and it's not for you. For you in your home, in your marriage, the Lord is saying, stay, fix it, hold fast, right? Someone else, like the message we got, she's feeling like the Lord is saying, no, take a bit of time and work it out. I would say this is such a difficult decision to come to. Take as much time as you need to know that God said it. This is not the kind of decision where you can have an inkling and you do it. If it takes you a year before you get a confirmed word, because guess what? When you take that break, you're going to need to stand on something. And we often say that here, you know, on the show, that what are you standing on? And to leave with a kind of is not enough, because the journey back is very difficult, whether or not it's God that told you to take a break. You have to be realistic about the fact that the journey back will be difficult. And so if it's God saying take a break, find the word that you can stand on to know you will come back. Because I have a question for you. What if you leave and it doesn't work? What then?
Yep. So it's a sensitive one, but we really want to encourage you to have a word from God, not from someone else, not from a friend, but directly where God, you know, if the heavens have to shake for you to be that sure, where when you're making that decision, you know indeed the heavens shook. And if we ask you, where did it shake? You can take us to the spot like Moses and we'll see signs of the burning bush. You know, I'm just saying the certainty level
needs to be quite strong.
Be very high.
I would actually encourage that you go on some kind of fast and allow the Lord. This is not a light one. You know, you're in an Esther situation. So do the fast you have to do, whatever it looks like, however the Lord leads you, to make sure that you're making the right decision.
And then if you do need counseling, I believe we can give you a number that will help. And Lady V is going to get that number ready. When we come back, we will give it to you.
That's Extended Worship with I Seek You First. We've come to that part of the show that we don't like so much, but it simply means that we have another opportunity to do this again next week. It's been an incredible 2 hours with you guys, and we still see some messages coming in. Don't worry, we've got a little bit more. We still got a little bit more to say. But to the person who wanted the counseling number, I hope you have your, I was going to say pen and paper, but that's so old school. I hope you have your notepad ready. It's 081-640-9372. That number again is 081-640-9372. You know, in the journey of faith, we have to remember that an infinite God will give an infinite word. And it's hard for us to understand the finality of God and how in His wisdom He will send a Samuel to call a David and then let it take however many decades before David actually ascends the throne. And who God is needs time and it needs intimacy to understand and to come to a place of peace. I quickly want to mention that couple again that we mentioned in the beginning of our show, that there's a couple in real time, a man and woman of God who waited 13 years for a word on their child, and they specifically said they got through it by realizing that they were together for more than just that promise. I mean, over all this time, they've built an international ministry. They say that they are extremely committed and fulfilled within their marriage, even before the child came. And so don't let the tarrying promise shake your relationship with God. The posture in which you wait is important too. God says that of Abraham. How you wait is important too. So don't let the promise deter you from the everyday intimacy with God.
Also know that we serve a God of covenants. So if God's given you a covenant, if God's given you a promise and has told you that this is yours, hang in there.
Yes.
Stand firm. Don't give up. Because I also think strategically, sometimes the enemy gets us to give up on our own dreams. You know, he wants you to tap out because God is faithful. There's no way God will give you a word and it comes back to him void. We find that in scripture. So you are being challenged to stand on the word, to not confess what you're seeing, but even more, to be patient, you know, because there is a time when faith gets hard.
Just to answer a question we just got, when is the right time to call the WhatsApp number? We would really encourage you to rather send voice notes and messages, because what can happen is 10 people trying to call at the same time. We can't really control that. So if there's something you want to say, you are more than welcome to send that counseling number a voice note. That number one more time, 081-640-9372.
All right, you're with the Vampillies. It's time for us to say goodbye. Thanks for another lovely show. We are so encouraged. Your messages do encourage us. And stay blessed.
We'll see you again next week. I have to throw forward. I cannot not throw forward. It's going to be a favorite of mine next week. The show is called Vengeance is the Lord's. You do not want to miss out. Have a wonderful day.
So for all those who are messing with you, ha! Tell them you're not going to fight them. Vengeance is the Lord. And next week, same time, same place, you'll be hanging out with the Vambillies when we go on deep and speak the word of God. I hear.